The second reading is from Philippians. Even though I, too, have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what do you want? What do you want? And I really want you to think about that, because I suspect that many people couldn't answer that question. What do you want? What makes your soul restless? Now, this may be what gets you out of bed every morning and charging to hit the day. It may be what you daydream about in the middle of the day. What do you want? What is it that you feel you need to be happy, to be satisfied, to be at peace? Now, I want you to think about that, because what we desire, what we love, sets the agenda for our choices and our character. Now, let me give you just sort of a broad example here. The person who wants more than anything else, money, more money, is going to act very differently from the person who is chasing more than anything else a stable, calm, solid family life. Now, that's a caricature right there, I understand. And I also know that we all want more than one thing. We desire good relationships, health. Maybe not wealth, but material security, a good reputation, a better life for our children. Hopefully, in amongst all of that, we also desire a deep connection to God. But the title of today's sermon is Your Wants Are Too Small. And what I want to say this morning, based on our reading out of Philippians, is that our desires are too modest. We chase after things with an intensity of desire that they don't really deserve. And that can tear our souls apart. We have in our hearts this yearning, this longing for things that may very well be good, that there's nothing wrong with them at all. They're good, but they're not good enough. Not good enough to satisfy us, to make us really whole. So, what do you want? Now, Paul, whose letter we read this morning, Paul knew what he wanted. Or at least he used to know. He wanted to be righteous. Oh yeah. He wanted to be on the top of the religious heap and be on the in with God. And you know what? He had arrived. He was born in the right lineage. He had a good family. He worked his tail off through school and then up the ladder. He had the pedigree, the passion, and the accomplishments. He could look in a mirror every single morning with confidence and say, "You, sir, have got it made. You've got it figured out. You are a Pharisee among Pharisees. You are rock solid." And he felt pretty good about that. Until Jesus showed up and messed everything up. Now you can read the story. It's in Acts chapter 9 of how Jesus shows up in Paul's life, grabs hold of his heart, and then everything changed. And that's what Paul's talking about in Philippians 3. All the privileges and the accomplishments that had given him his sense of identity and security and, frankly, superiority, they didn't look so great anymore. In fact, he went so far as to say they now kind of look like trash. Not that they were necessarily bad, but because no matter how good they were, compared to Jesus, they're nothing. Paul's saying that now that he's been claimed by Jesus, that's what he wants. He desires the love and the power of Christ, even when it means suffering, even when it means losing things that would otherwise be good. Because he has come to discover what we all need to know, and that is that only in Jesus can he find what his soul really needs. None of his human achievements, none of his moral superiority, none of his religious heritage could make him whole. In fact, he didn't even know how broken he was until he saw how perfect, how beautiful, and how limitless the love and the goodness of Jesus is. And frankly, it's the same with us. C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian author, once described human beings like this. He said, "We are too easily satisfied." See, God has prepared infinite, perfect joys for us. And instead of focusing on that, we obsess over these little things like ambition or stuff or reputation or pleasure. We drive ourselves crazy pursuing relationships with the wrong people or money that'll never, ever be enough. And so C.S. Lewis said, we're like children playing in this dirty little mud puddle, which is what kids do, and on its own, that's fine. But playing in this dirty little mud puddle, not realizing that if we just lifted our eyes a little bit, there's this perfect, beautiful, sandy beach right there waiting for us. We're too easily satisfied. See, you were created by God with an infinite hunger inside of you. And that hunger is good, because what it is it's our longing for God. The problem comes when we try to take limited, finite things and try to stuff them into that hole to fill an infinite desire. And it never works. And so we chase after some artificial, picture-perfect family life that can't really exist. We just can't wait till we get that next room in our house remodeled. We set all our hopes on the promotion. We desire with all our hearts that imaginary person who will somehow make our lives complete. We wish that things could just get back to the way they were when we were younger. Or maybe we chase things. Once we find out that none of that will satisfy us, we start chasing things that aren't even good on their own. We start looking for peace at the bottom of a bottle. Happiness in a flirtation at the office, or a sense of superiority by looking down on everybody else. But whatever it is that we try to use to fill that infinite longing in our souls, it'll never work. See, the truth is, behind everything that we chase after, behind everything that we pursue, in reality, all of us want the same basic things. At the heart, we're looking for joy, for purpose and meaning, for peace and hope. We're looking for a deep, real connection with other people. What we are really pursuing, whether we know it or not, is nothing other than God. Because He is the only real source of what we hunger and thirst for. But now here's the thing. The amazing good news. As we wear ourselves out and tear our hearts up, chasing after things that won't ever deliver what we think they promise, what you really need has already found you. What your soul is longing for has already caught you. It's Jesus. Now, you've heard the expression, if you've got problems money can fix, you don't really have problems. I'll turn it around. If you've got happiness or peace or security that comes from money or from stuff or from your own accomplishments, you don't really have what you think. You've got a cheap imitation. The real thing is found in Jesus. And He has come and died and rose again to mend your life and finally bring wholeness into your heart. He is what you need. And the amazing thing is, you don't have to chase Him or look for Him, because He is closer to you than your own heartbeat. And no matter how far astray you've gone, He is chasing you with forgiveness and mercy and life.
Amen now.
So, what are you pursuing? What are you chasing with your life? What do you want? See, whether you know it or not, what you're really after, what you really need, is Jesus. And He's got you. He's there. So instead of chasing after all those things that are tearing you apart, strive for Christ. Not to find Him, because He's already with you, but to go ever deeper into His presence. His love for you and for the whole world is limitless. And the more you pursue him in scripture, in prayer, in service, in relationship with others, in worship, the more full and whole your soul will become. But here's the other trick. The more that you discover of Jesus, and the more his goodness fills you, the more you're going to want of him. So, press on. Leave behind what lies in the past. Tear your heart away from the lesser things. Stop giving yourself to things that aren't worthy of your soul. Because when you let go of all that other stuff, you will discover that all the good that you were really chasing, God has already been there to give it to you from the start. Don't be fooled into being too easily satisfied. Because Jesus has already been better to you than you could ever know. And even when following him means struggle or suffering or losing those things you thought you needed, the prize of life with Christ, it is worth more than you could ever imagine. So press on. And strive, because Jesus has claimed hold of you. Amen.